Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Today's message is going to be a little bit of a different title, but I'm excited about sharing what the Lord's kind of put in my heart this week from Romans chapter 12. But today's title is simply God's Reasonable Request. Now, to understand what a reasonable request is, let's start this way. Have you ever had someone make an unreasonable request of you? If you work in customer service, chances are you've had some people make some unreasonable request of you. If you're a parent, chances are you maybe had a kid ask something that was an unreasonable request. If you're a student, perhaps your parents have made an unreasonable request for you at some point. How many would say that sometimes even reasonable requests can seem unreasonable if you're frustrated? Like, have you ever called customer service about your internet? What do they ask you to do first? Turn it off, turn it back on. Unplug it, wait 30 seconds, plug it back in. And if you're like me, by the time I call them, I've already done that at least 27 times. And so after I wait for 17 minutes, just let me vent for a few minutes and we'll get spiritual. After I've waited 17 minutes for a live person, the first thing they want me to do is to unplug, restart, and in that moment, what seems like a reasonable request seems really unreasonable because I've already done that six more times while I was on hold with them. So sometimes reasonable requests can seem unreasonable just simply because of our own experience, lifetime, season, frustration, whatever it is. Did you know that sometimes God's request to people seems unreasonable? Have you ever had God ask you to do something that seemed unreasonable at the time? Speak to someone that you'd rather not speak to? Love someone you'd rather not love? Give something you'd rather keep? Do something, serve somewhere where you'd rather not serve. You know, one of the questions I want you to think about today is, what is my natural response when God asks me to do something unreasonable? Because here's what I believe. I believe this all my heart this morning. If you don't agree with this, then you're going to have a hard time hearing the rest of what I want to say this morning. If God is not asking you to do some things that seem unreasonable, I would say we're probably not listening well enough. Because the Bible is filled with ordinary people that God asked to do things that seemed unreasonable to them. Like Peter, throw your net on the other side of the boat. What was Peter's response to this unreasonable request? He questioned, right? Lord, I've already done that. It's like the modem guy. I've already done that all night long. Our Moses, why don't you go speak to Pharaoh and just tell him to let my people go? He questioned. Mary was given the opportunity to bear the Son of God. She got it right. She accepted. But many of God's commands and requests of us require us to express faith. And faith always operates in the realm that you could define as unreasonable. Many of God's commands don't seem reasonable. If someone asks you to go 2 miles, I'm going to go 1 mile, go two. If someone slaps you on one cheek, give them the other. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. I don't know about you, but those seem like unreasonable requests to me at times. So if the Lord has never asked you to do something that seems unreasonable, I really think we need to ask ourselves, am I tuning into the Word of God and the Spirit of God like I should? And we might could go home right now and just chew on that the rest of the day. But we're not going to. So instead, we're going to talk about this a specific request that it's almost like the Lord knew we would argue about this request. It's almost like the Lord knew that when we heard this command, that we were going to push back a little bit. We were going to think this is too extreme for us. So to fix our response, to not give us any wiggle room, the Lord goes ahead and instructs Paul to include this phrase. By the way, this is a reasonable request. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your what? Reasonable service, not unreasonable. Do not be conformed to this world. Another translation says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Lord. Have you ever had trouble discovering God's will for your life? This message can help you this morning. Father, I pray today that as we look to your word, it will, first of all, Lord, we will hear what you are trying to say to us. Secondly, we will respond to what you're saying to us. And Father, I pray you'll anoint me today. Anointing, Lord, it simply means give me this power beyond my own power to speak what you want spoken and that only. Also, Lord, I pray that you would open the ears and the minds and the hearts of every person in the room or connecting with us online or perhaps even listening to a podcast months from now to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us. And we'll give you thanks for it. Everybody in the room said amen. Amen. Now, for the last 11 chapters, Paul's been talking about the grace of God, how great it is, how wide it is, how it should be presented not just to one group of people, but to all people, how you and I have a commission to be basically missionaries to every culture we inhabit, whether it's a foreign culture or your school or your marketplace. But now here Paul is saying something a little bit more specific. He says the grace of God should not just change others. He's saying the grace of God should change us. I'm so thankful that three people agree with me today, that the grace of God should change us. How many understand the grace of God is working, or I should say, if the grace of God is working in your life today, that it should be working not just in you, it should be working on you. I want to say that again. If the grace of God is working in you, then the grace of God will also work on you. And by the way, the grace of God never stops working on us as long as we're on this side of heaven. Right? The grace of God will work in us is also the grace of God that's always going to work on us. Titus chapter 2 says the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, but it teaches us continually, present tense verb. It continually teaches us to say no to all ungodliness and worldly passions and to live, present tense, right? Ongoing. Live controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So many times we think the grace of God is something that worked on us on the day of our salvation. Can I tell you, the grace of God did work on us on the day of our salvation, but it didn't. It wasn't a one-hit wonder. That's when the grace of God, that's when you responded to it. But just as you respond to the grace of God on the day of your salvation, can I tell you, the grace that you responded to on that day is still asking you to continually respond today, because the grace of God that is working in you continually wants to work on you. There are certain phrases I hope you walk home with today, and one of them is this, or you can drive home if you want to, but the grace of God that's working in me is also trying to work on me. And Lord, let us not resist the grace that is working on me. Paul said that when he received the grace of God, that he worked hard at it, but he also said that it was not without effect. That the grace of God was effective in his life. How many would say that, have you ever got a stain in your clothing? It can make your favorite article of clothing unusable. That's why you don't hardly ever see me up here in a white shirt, because I spill things all the time. This morning, I asked Megan, I said, is there any stains in this thing? Because it's just part of who I am. I spill stuff. But there are certain agents you can buy, and if you put these, you know, the pins or the spray or whatever, you put them on those stains, they're supposed to take them out, right? And if it won't take the stain out, then you would say what? That agent was not effective. Paul is saying, I want the grace of God to be effective in my life. I don't want to receive the grace of God and not take full effect. So therefore, I got to present my body, my life to the Lord. So how do we cooperate with the grace and the mercy of God? That's kind of the question today. How do I respond to this reasonable request that God makes in my life continually? And here's the first way. Romans chapter 12 tells us. He says this, present your bodies to Christ. That word present simply means to submit or yield. But it's not like you're waiting around for God to make a request of you so that you can respond to it. Present is a little bit more. It's like you're volunteering, wanting to submit to the Lord, wanting to show the Lord that, hey, I am living my life for you. There's three words that I hear all the time in my home. And if you have young kids, you hear these three words too. It's these words. Daddy, watch this. Anybody, maybe you hear those words or you remember hearing those words. Daddy, watch this. When I hear those three words, Daddy, watch this, I have two choices. I can stop what I'm doing and watch this, or I can continue what I'm doing knowing that phrase, Daddy, watch this, it's not going to stop. It's not going to go away. Eventually, I am going to stop what I'm doing and I'm going to watch this, because my kids are amazing and they want to tell me. They want to show me their cartwheel. They want to show me their flip. They want to show me their art piece. They want to show me their boo-boo. They want to show me something, what they've done to their sister. They want to show. You know, they're presenting themselves to Dad. The Scripture's saying, let's present ourselves to the Lord. Let's present our bodies to the Lord. And the word body isn't just meaning this flesh with these bones with skin on it. It includes that, but it's not just that, because let me understand, our bodies represent our whole self. Our bodies is what our mouth speaks out of. Our bodies can only be present in one place or another. So our bodies represent our priorities. Our bodies represent our care. Because it's our bodies that we hug one another, we high-five each other, we encourage one another, or we offend one another. So when Paul says to present your bodies unto the Lord, he's basically saying present your whole life, your whole being, everything you are, present it to the Lord. Because everything, how we live and breathe and everything to do that we do in this body is either presented to the Lord for His glory, or it is a distraction or deterioration of the grace of God that's being displayed in us. It skews the image of the grace of God that's been displayed in us. So we present our bodies to the Lord. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 19, he says these words, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Lord in whom you've received? That you're not your own, but you belong to the Lord. So the Lord is saying that the grace and mercy of God is reasonable, that the one that gave His all for us would want us to give our all for Him. I was introduced to a new word this week. And maybe it's an old word and I just forgot it. I'm getting old enough to where I can forget things and things I heard before. When I hear them again, it feels brand new. So maybe that's what the deal. But I don't remember hearing this word before. The word was this, crino. Raise your hand. Have you ever heard the word crino before? A few people? Crino is actually an acronym. It means this, Christian in name only. Crino. Christian in name only. And it was talking about people who with their mouth say, They are Jesus followers, but there's nothing about their life that would indicate that they're following Jesus. Christian in name only. And when I read that, of course, I was kind of thinking about this week's message, and I thought, maybe that's why Paul says, submit your body to the Lord. Submit your life to the Lord. Maybe in Paul's day, there were people who were Jesus followers in name only. They were saying, I'm part of the church. I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. But there was nothing about their lifestyle or about the way they committed their life or lived their life. There was nothing about their lifestyle that said they belonged to the Lord. So maybe it's in that context that Paul, under the instruction of the Lord, said, present your bodies to the Lord. Don't let your faith be something that is only a verbal allegiance without a practical following of the Lord. Present your bodies. The question is, am I living my whole life before Him? Number two, what's the second reasonable request? He says, present your bodies. And he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. To which I would simply say, in my words, Paul is saying, stop playing the imitation game. The world has a pattern that it wants us to conform to. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. There's a pattern of thinking, there's a pattern of value in what the world wants to conform to. And the word conform means a lot more than just what you may think of initially. I put the original verbiage for you there in the text, and I'll read you their definition. It refers to an act of an individual assuming an outward expression that doesn't come from within. In other words, what I'm presenting on the outside doesn't match who I am on the inside. It's been compared to putting on a mask, pretending to be something that you're not. And Paul is in essence saying, don't live like those, don't pretend like you're like everyone else. How many understand as believers we're not like everybody else? Doesn't the word says that our citizenship is in heaven? Right? We are not of this, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. So don't spend your whole life trying to fit into a world that we're only passing through, when we're actually members and citizens of a different world. And so Paul says, don't conform anymore. Instead, let who God has made you to be, let that be seen. I have a confession this morning, and some of you may never look at me the same when I say this. It's a recent issue I've developed. But in the last 6 months, I have become a fan of like Marvel comic movies. Yeah. And I'm still kind of ignorant. Like, I don't know the difference between Marvel and DC comics. Forgive me, sorry. I know I'm probably offending someone with my ignorance this morning, but they're on the streaming channel, they're all in the same category, so I don't know the difference. But I've really been watching a lot of the, probably because I'm an 80s kid, a lot of the Superman series and TV series, and I'll confess, this is full confession, that I've even been watching the Supergirl series. And the whole series is about this guy, Kal-El, also known as Clark Kent, Superman, or Kara Danvers, is that her name? They walk around in these clothing to fit in. They're hoping that no one interprets or sees that they're Superman or Supergirl. They keep their true identity hidden. As believers, Paul is saying, Don't conform. Don't try to keep your real identity hidden. You're not of this world. That's the other thing they're trying to keep hidden in Superman and Supergirl. They're trying to keep hidden where they're from. Cabot is sort of a weird town. I mean that in the best way. If I were to survey most of you in this room today, most of you are not from here. Looking across this room, most of you, I know your story. You're not from here. The number of people that were born in Cabot and live in Cabot today, Cabot has been growing so much for so long, most of us are not from here. We have backstories of where we're from. Can I tell you, as a believer today, that there's more to your story. You're not from here. Sometimes I think we need to be reminded that we're not from here. So don't conform. Don't conform so easily to your surroundings. Don't conform. Don't. And some of us have been wearing the disguise of the world so long, we're convinced more about the lie of who the world says we are than we are about the truth of who God says we are. There's this belief out there that says things like this: well, I was just born that way. Well, praise God that we were all born with this sin issue. But we don't have to live according to how we were born. We've been redeemed. God's redeemed us to be more than we were. Stop being what you're not. Start being who God redeemed you to be. Well, what did God redeem me to be? 1 John chapter 3 says this: how great is the love that our Father has lavished upon us, that we can be called sons and daughters of God. I love the last part of the verse says, because that is what we are. That's really what we are. The reason the world doesn't know is because they didn't know Him. Can I tell you, as long as we try to conform to the world, you're putting a limitation on what God can do through you. So don't conform to the pattern of your past any longer. You know what sin is? Sin is simply a mask trying to keep you from embracing who God has redeemed you to be. The third reasonable request He makes of us is to don't conform any longer to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation is not a passive process, but deliberate choice. How many know that going to school doesn't make you educated automatically? I am exhibit A of that. I went to class faithfully for 2 years. Spanish 1, Spanish 2. I don't think I missed any days except for what I had to miss for athletics or whatever. I was there every day. And the most I can speak Spanish is no habla en español. 2 years, one sentence. Sitting in there did not bring transformation. Coming to church can be transformative. It also can be non-transformative. If all we do is just show up. If we don't respond to the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3 says it this way: set your mind on things above and not on things of earth. In other words, be focused on God and eternal things. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 22 through 24 says like this: and put on the new self created to be like God in righteousness. I like that phrase when it's talking about no longer conforming but be transformed. Put on your new self by the renewing of your mind. As I get in God's Word, as I submit to His Spirit, He changes me little by little as I submit to Him. This morning I went to my closet and there were multiple shirts I could put on. But I could only put on, I was about to say one, but I'm actually wearing two this morning. But help me understand, at some point I had to make a decision. I'm either going to wear this one or I'm going to wear that one. When it comes to the renewing of your mind, We have an active part to play, that I'm going to think this way or I'm going to think that way. And the more I fill my mind with the Word of God, the more my thoughts become more aligned with His thoughts, the more I realize my thoughts get exposed. Okay, that's the way Greg thinks, but here's the way God thinks. And which way am I going to respond to? Which shirt am I going to put on? Which way of thinking am I going to put on today? As Galatians says, to live by the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. And fourth, this morning, we can discover the will of God when we respond to these reasonable requests of the Lord. I want to talk about discover the will of God this morning. One of the prayers I have people ask me to pray for them a lot is discovering the will of God. I want to know what God's will is for my life. I want to know how to be in the center of God's will. And if that is you today, say, Pastor, I really want to be in the center of God's will, I would ask you just to go back and ask yourself, have I done the first few things the Word talks about here? Have I presented myself to the Lord? Not part of myself, all of myself. Am I being obedient to let Him transform me, or am I spending too much time trying to conform to those other people's thoughts and other people's things? It's so easy for us to just say, well, God, I want you to tell me what to do. I want you to show me what I'm supposed to be doing. But we don't. It's almost like we're asking God to give us a plan to consider instead of a plan to commit to. Discovering the will of God, it actually comes, I like the Scripture says, then you'll be able to test and prove or approve what God's will is. In other words, the more I'm renewing my mind, the more I'm going to recognize the plan of God, the will of God. We have to, we train our, here's a, you're ready for a new word? We train our recognizer. We train our ability to know the will of God. The more we refuse to conform, the more we allow Him to transform, the more we allow Him to renew our mind, we discover, we test, we approve, we see what the will of God is easier. So if you're struggling with the will of God today, I would say, go back. Because the will of God is often going to seem, if you've been paying attention, you know what my word, next word's going to be. The will of God is actually most often going to seem unreasonable. The reason a lot of people stop following the will of God at some point or in some area is at some point the will of God seems unreasonable. Seems too hard, seems too difficult, it seems too overboard, it seems too old school, it seems too this, it seems too that, and we walk away from the will of God because it seems unreasonable. We're not able, we have some objection to it that's not based on the Word of God. And the moment we're not willing to do that, we miss the will of God. And there's all these forces that are challenging you to, hey, just conform. Just take the easy way. Just do the easy thing. This past week, or in the last couple of weeks, there's a pastor here in our nation who I really respect, really admire, was called to called to Washington to lead our representatives in prayer. They asked him to come and pray before one of their sessions. And so he went and he prayed. He prayed the opening prayer. And he is being beat up because he had the, the guts, the nerve, the courage to represent Jesus. I mean, if you don't want Jesus represented, stop asking people that represent Jesus. But he did. They asked him to come. He came. And I went back, I read his prayer. It was just biblical. That's all it was. It wasn't trying to start a fight. It wasn't putting anybody down. It was just biblical. Matter of fact, a big part of his prayer, he just copied and pasted from a prayer another pastor had prayed about a century ago. But it was offensive because it didn't conform to others' expectations. Part of the way we discover the will of God is when we're no longer afraid about other people's expectations. Not afraid of the world's expectations. I mean, who in the world would not rather please people than displease them? I'm not asking to be a jerk. But at some point, you got to say, my main objective is to please the Lord. Right? And the way we please the Lord is we say, you know what, Lord? Today, I'm not going to try to conform to the world I live in. I'm not going to play the imitation game any longer. I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to submit my whole life to you. Not a portion of my life. And, you know, most of us guys in the room, we're the worst about trying to compartmentalize our life. We have our work life and our home life and our hobby life and our money life and our spiritual life. And can I tell you, all that is a facade. There's just life. And you submit it all to Him, or you haven't submitted it all to Him. That's why Paul says, submit your whole life, submit your body, submit it all to Him. Stop conforming to the ways of the world. Instead, let who Christ is in you flow out of you. And then as your mind is renewed day by day, you will be able to test and approve what the will of God is. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, help us to stop pretending. Before I get into this pre-planned prayer I wanted to pray over us, I do feel like right now there is a person or two that you have been pretending so long. You have believed. You haven't even been pretending. You have just believed the lie of the enemy about your life. You have believed that the way you have been is the only way you can be. And without trying to, what you have basically done, you have discredited the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. But see, the redemptive power of Jesus Christ can take any person from any path and transform them to a new person. On a new path. That's what the Bible says. We are now new creations in Jesus. And every Jesus follower has become a new person. The old is gone, the new has come. And sometimes the enemy speaks to us and says, well, you can follow Jesus, but the old is going to stick around. No. He has redeemed you to be something better than you once were. And those addictions, those decisions that you believe have been made perhaps by you or for you, or can I tell you, they are no limitation to the freeing power of Jesus Christ, who the Son sets free can be completely free if you are willing to present all of you to Him. That's why Paul said, present your bodies, present all of yourself to the Lord. Let Him transform all of you. He doesn't want to transform part of you. We need the redemptive power of God in all of our life. We've all needed it. It took the grace of God to redeem and redefine all of us. There's not one of us that was an exception to that rule. There's not one person, well, God just had to change one thing. No, the Lord has had to change everything about all of us. He redeemed every part of us. And today, some of you have believed the lie that, well, God has done that for others, but He can't do that for me. That the way I have been is the way I will be. The parts of my past, they are the parts of my future. And that's just, you've just settled for that. But I want to tell you, the Lord can set you free this morning. He has redeemed you for something better than just your past. Your life is not stuck on repeat. He can write new chapters for your life today. You say, Pastor, I've been in a prison of just believing that my past is on repeat. But today I want to respond to the Word of God. I want to ask Him to change my present and change my future. If that's you today, would you just lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. I need the help of the Lord to do that. Some of you know that's only the help of the Lord that's going to do that. Amen? 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 So, church, I want to ask every person to join me in prayer right now. We're going to believe God for this to be a freeing moment in people's lives today. How many can believe that with me today? Would you pray with me that this will be a life-altering, life-changing, freeing moment for people? Can you believe that with me this morning? If you will believe that with me this morning, I want to ask you to join me in prayer and join me by standing today, because we're about to bombard and ask Him to deliver the freeing power of Jesus in this room right now. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take 3 seconds. You've been sitting. Why don't you stretch a little bit? I want you fully awake for this moment of prayer. All right? Now then, before we pray, one more thing. How many of you would say, Pastor, I am not who I used to be. The Lord has set me free. I've seen Him do it. Would you just wave at me real quick? Amen? Are you convinced what God's done for you, He can do for others? Amen. So if you're in the room today, you lifted your hand a few minutes ago, hey, I need God to do some things in me. You just saw other people testify. He's done it for them. Would you join me in prayer today that this would be a freeing moment for people? If you lifted your hand and said, I need the freedom of God, why don't you just lift your hands once again and just receive and respond to the freeing power of Jesus. God, we pray this morning that this will be a life-changing moment for men and women across this building and perhaps those who are connecting with us online today. God, I'm thankful that who the Son sets free is totally free. It's free indeed. So God, I speak to people's past right now. Lord, we speak that their past no longer has any grip on them. It has no authority on them any longer. It may try to haunt them, but it cannot rule them because they've been set free by Jesus. So Lord, we surrender our past to You. We surrender our past habits to You. We surrender our sin to You. And God, we ask You this morning to come in and cleanse us and make us new. Lord, redeem those things that the enemy meant for evil and begin to do a new creative work inside of us. Lord, we surrender our past way of thinking to You. And we take hold of the new thoughts of God and His Word and His Spirit today. So we pray and we decree today that we are people of God. We are not people of this earth. We are not citizens of the world only. We are citizens of heaven. We are sons and daughters of God. We belong to the King. We're the King's kids. We belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. So we're not going to let the world dictate who we are or how we live. Lord, we're going to live according to the redemptive power of Jesus. Lord, the world has had control over our minds too long. The enemy has had too much leverage in our ears. We tune our ears towards heaven. Lord, we're going to be who the Word says we can be. Because we're not our own. We belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. I think it would do all of us some really spirit good to lift both our hands to heaven and just say to the Lord, Jesus, I belong to you. And begin to declare that over all of your life. Lord, my past belongs to you. My present belongs to you. My future belongs to you. Jesus, my marriage belongs to you. Jesus, my finances belong to you. Jesus, my family belong to you. My kids belong to you. Lord, my spouse belongs to you. Our house is your house. Our family is your family. Our church is your church, Lord. It all belongs to you. Lord, our will belongs to you. Lord, it's not about us. It's about you. And Lord, this is not extreme. This is our reasonable act of service. It's our reasonable way of living, that the one who gave it all for us, that we would cheerfully give it all to you. I belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. In Jesus' name. Would you give your neighbor a high five and tell them you belong to Jesus? Amen. Find another neighbor and tell them the same thing. Father, we love you. God, I pray you'll bless the people. Bless them, keep them, let your face shine upon them. Give them peace and joy both now and forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you're a first-time guest, I'll be in the foyer. I'd love to greet you and meet you in about 30 seconds. Have a wonderful Sunday afternoon. God bless you. We love you.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.